Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
My next guest is a prolific Hollywood star who's enjoyed critical acclaim for his roles in films like Star Trek, the Barry Town trilogy, and Layer Cake. In 2019, he received the coveted Lifetime Achievement Award for an exceptional career in the arts. And now, after more than 40 years, he's returning to the Irish stage, acting alongside his daughter in Bedbound, a play about a father and his polio-stricken daughter confined to a tiny Dublin bedroom. Earlier, I caught up with actor Colm Meaney and asked why, after a career spanning more than four decades, he's yet to learn that being cooped up with your offspring is not a good idea.
You'd think I would have more sense, but, I haven't done a huge amount of theatre over the last 20-odd years. I mean, I did Cat in the Hat Tin Roof at the West End in 18, and I did Iceman Cometh on Broadway in 19. But prior to that, it had been 07. I'd done a show at the Old Vic. So I kind of try to stay away from theatre. But occasionally you're offered something that is just irresistible, you know? And my problem is that I make a mistake of reading or rereading the play and realizing how good it is, you know? And you kind of... It was like that with Cat in the Hot Tin Roof. I mean, how do you duck Big Daddy, you know, if you're offered that in a great production with Sienna Miller and Jack O'Connell and the great director, like Benedict Andrews, and equally with the Iceman Cometh on Broadway, you know, George C. Wolfe was directing, and I had wanted to work with him for 30 years since I saw the original production of Angels in America. And, of course, Denzel Washington was playing Hickey as well. So it's like these great projects come along and you kind of say, you can't, even though you're trying to avoid the theater, you can't avoid it. This one was somewhat different in that it was partly my daughter. She entrapped me. she had worked with this their director, Mark Atkinson, in New York. And Mark came to her and said, look at this play, the end of Bedbound. And so, what do you think of doing this with your dad? And so Brenda approached me about it. And, you know, I read the play, and it's an amazing play. But it's really, I mean, it's you know, two characters. It's very Beckett in a way. Two characters trapped in a room, endless speeches. I mean, two, three-page speeches, which at this stage of the game, you know, I could do without, to be honest. But it's kind of, and the opportunity to work with your daughter, you know, it doesn't come up, practically never comes up. So it was just, I kind of went, well, you know, this is a different temptation, but an equally strong temptation. So I said, I'd do it.
There is an irony to the fact that you're about to go and do this project with your daughter, because as I understand it, you discouraged your daughter, Brenda, from acting, and now here you are acting with her. Why?
Yeah, that's true. I think most actors do that. I think, you know, a lot of, certainly, I have actor friends of mine who are parents also had similar feelings. When your kid's growing up, you think, you know, there's so many other wonderful professions out there. You don't have to be an actor. You know, you don't, just because I'm doing it doesn't mean you should do it. So we did discourage her as a kid. And I mean, she did a few plays at school and stuff like that and enjoyed it. And when it came time to go to college, she seemed to want to be an archaeologist was the kind of, she did history of art, ancient history, and she seemed to be going towards a career as an archaeologist, which I was thrilled about. And then she got her bachelor's degree and was hanging around afterwards for about a year. And I said, "What do you want to do postgraduate? What do you want to do?" And she said, "Dad, I want to act." You know, and I'm like, "Oh God, I thought we dodged that one." And so I said, "You know, well, I know you think you know everything because you grew up in a household of two actors, and that, but you know, you need to go to drama school." And for once, she listened to me, and she got herself into Yale, and she went to, she did her master's degree in acting at Yale Drama School.
So, well, you mentioned Yale there, and it's illustrative of the fact that I think you and your daughter had very different upbringings, and you get what you deserve, don't you? If you bring your child up in Los Angeles, then there's every possibility that they're going to want to become an actor. But tell me a little bit about your own childhood growing up and how possible the idea of an acting career seemed to you at the time. I mean, I lived in Ireland at the same time as you were contemplating, embarking on a thespian career. And I know it wasn't the easiest thing to be thinking of doing.
No, it wasn't. And it was completely out of the blue. Like, there was no history of anybody in my family being in the entertainment business generally. But my granddad used to take me to theatre shows in the old Theatre Royal in Dublin, which was a famous... But they were more like kind of variety shows, but it did give me a kind of a fascination, I guess, with the stage and that. You know, when I was very small, like I'm talking about, you know, 4, 5, 6. And then I guess from the time my early teens, I kind of had it in the back of my head that I wanted to try and do it. And I found a drama school, night classes at a drama school when I was about 14 and did a bit of that. And then kind of stopped and concentrated in school for a bit. And then later on, at 17, I applied to the Abbey School of Acting, the Irish National Theatre School of Acting, was accepted there. And that was really the only way into the profession in Ireland at that time. There were basically two theatres in Dublin, you know, the Abbey and the Gate. And there was the RTE, the radio television, the equivalent of the BBC in Ireland, you know, had what they called the repertory company. They did basically radio plays, and that was a source of employment as well. But that was about it, you know. There was no industry as such in Ireland at that stage.
I mean, it was quite a political theatre scene, as I remember, at the time as well. I mean, a bit later on, maybe in the 70s, when you had the Project Arts Theatre and places like that. And I think you were quite politicised as a young man. Did you see acting and the theatre as a route to exploring more than just drama?
Yes, I think I did. I think one of the things that early influences are things that sort of, you know, inspired me was I remember Lindsay Anderson's film If.
Oh, yeah.
About the boarding school, which was an extraordinary piece of work. So, I mean, I was already political before I started in drama school. But then I kind of had to, you know, just concentrate on being an actor in the mainstream classical theatre. But then I moved to London in the early 70s, and I worked at the Half Moon Theatre Company. It was a famous fringe company in Aldgate East, in the East End of London. And then I would, luckily from there, was invited to join 784 Theatre Company. That was, you know, a very famous political theatre company, founded and run by John McGrath, a great, great playwright and screenplay writer.
Yeah, and even the name of that theatre company was politicised, wasn't it?
Of course, yes, 7% of the population own 84% of the wealth was the reason for the name.
And now has it become 5%? So things haven't really changed.
I would say it's probably less, yeah. Possibly down to 2.5%. I don't know, but it's certainly no better, that's for sure. So, I was in a situation with 784 where I really felt like fulfilled. I was acting, but I had a great playwright, political playwright like John McGrath, actually writing parts for me. And it was the most wonderful, you know, early kind of like a continuous training as well. In that, you know, I'd done 2 years at the School of Acting in the Abbey. I'd been in the Abbey Company for a year, but there were still aspects of my craft that I needed to work on. And John helped me do that very much, you know.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
How do you go from 784, the touring theatre company, you know, campaigning for a better division of wealth and, you know, socialist ideals and so on? You're a paid up member, I think, of the official Sinn Féin as well. How do you go from that to life as an actor in Los Angeles?
Well, it sort of happened in stages, you know. I was in London for a few years and doing mostly touring. I hopped back and forth then to Dublin to the Abbey. They invited me back a few times to do jobs. And then I moved to New York in 82, wanting to experience that and experience America. And a few years in New York, and I was working in regional theatres in America, like Chicago, Cleveland, Washington, D.C., places like that. And I realized I didn't really feel a vocation to bring classical theater to the American Midwest. You know,
I can't think why I'm doing this?
What am I doing here? And at the time as well, in the 80s, you know, there was New York was very much a theater town, and Los Angeles was a, was, if you wanted to work in film and television, you had to go to Los Angeles. So so I kind of, because at the time as well, I realized also that, you know, to make a living, to be able to afford to buy a house and raise a family, you got to do film and television. You got to be working in a better paid situation. So that was an element in it too.
I'm trying to take the leap from 784 and touring. We all did things in our youth, obviously. And then to Los Angeles and Star Trek. And I mean, did you lose a part of yourself along the way, or do you feel that it was, you know, necessity driving you?
I never felt that I lost a part of myself. No, I mean, I felt that, like, they were all new adventures in a way, you know? Mm. Each one was like kind of, you know, oh yeah, let's do that. Yeah, and I had fun, I have to say. I had a lot of fun along the way, but each one seemed like a new adventure. And I've always, I mean, I kind of realized that, you know, I could never really be a political activist in the common sense of it in this profession, because in this profession you're constantly moving around, you know, you're not in the one place where you can consistently contribute as a political activist. You know, it's more, we're kind of like gypsies, you know. So, but I have always read, and I have always had opinions, and I've always tried to participate as much as I can in political debates, especially.
So what would be your opinion at this point in time? Your career began, and we were both around at a time when government grants were available for working class people to go to college, to go to drama school. I'm sure it wouldn't have been possible for you otherwise. Do you feel that the arts are still open to people from all classes?
Well, surprisingly enough, you know, the Abbey School of Acting, the National Theatre School of Acting, was free. Yeah, I mean, it was there were no fees involved. So that was
as
that
were
was
our universities once.
Yes. I agree. I think it's. I mean, you know, for me, like the period I had in the UK with 794 and Belton Braces, another great theatre company at the time. And that could not happen today. That just can't. They don't exist anymore. All those great theatre companies like Red Ladder, you know, Joint Stock, Common Stock, you know, all the great work Max Stafford Clark did and all that. Mm. That none of that could happen today. It's after Thatcher, all of those options were wiped out. The arts were just decimated, you know. And with a political agenda too, like with first to go with the lefty theatre companies. It's bad in Ireland, but I think it's actually, from what I can tell, worse in the UK. And you're seeing it in the actors coming through, that we're getting back to the stage where most emerging actors tend to be from Oxbridge. You know, I mean those. The great breakthrough that was made in the early 60s with, you know, Albert Finney and Tom Courtney and all these wonderful actors seems to be a thing of the past.
Well, you'd certainly be spoilt for choice casting if, wouldn't you, at the moment?
Exactly, yeah.
And also, I suppose, just, you know, in terms of the just general economic landscape at the moment, you know, I mean, here in the UK, we've got nurses, train drivers, pilots, I mean, you name it, they're all on strike. And I think actors in particular, they struggle anyway, but they're struggling too. And nowadays, of course, not protected by a union, most of them, because nobody joins.
No, again, that's another wonderful achievement by Mrs. Thatcher to destroy the trade union movement, yeah. Since then, you know, we equity lost its closed shop. So actors, and I'm it's shocking, and I blame the actors as well to some extent. But I remember on Star Trek, an actor came over from the UK to join the cast, and I was asking how the equity meetings were going, you know, because I used to attend a lot of equity meetings when I lived in London. And he said, "Oh, I don't know, I'm not a member." And I said, "How can you work as an actor and not be a member?" And this was like, you know, the early 90s. And you don't have to be a member of the union anymore. And nowadays, most actors working in the UK are not union members. And as a result, I've worked on a film recently in the UK where you could work 12 hours straight without a break. It's Dickensian the way it's gone, you know. Mm. We used to have a thing called French hours on the film industry, where you could work 8 hours straight without a lunch break, but you'd be fed during, you know, like on the run basis. And then after 8 hours, you had to pull the plug. Mm. They've now reintroduced that in the UK called a continuous day, which is a 10-hour day, and the option to do overtime, 2 hours overtime. And of course, option means, it doesn't mean option. I mean, you know, especially for crew, if they refuse to do the overtime, they probably won't be there next week. You know, I say to actors, like, you know, if you won't join a union, it's going to get worse and worse.
I did want to know what it was like being a kid in Dublin in the 60s, coming from, you know, the not the wrong side of the tracks, but, you know, you didn't come from a sort of artsy liberal background. I wonder how seriously people took you when you were a teenager wanting to be an actor. Did you get the fist taken out of you? Something rotten is what I'm asking,
I did,
really.
Yeah, yes, I did. But I survived it.
It made you the man you are today, did it?
I wouldn't quite go that far, but I at least I survived it.
Listen, Colm, just finally, on Star Trek, because obviously a lot of people know you from your performance there. There were rumours of a Tarantino spin-off. Is there any chance we'll be seeing you in that or carrying on with it?
Oof. I doubt it very much. I mean, I spent 7 years in spaces, and quite honestly, that was enough for me. But yeah, look, you never say never in this business, but I would doubt it very much.
Watch this space. That was Irish actor and Hollywood star Colm Meaney. Bedbound is on at the Galway International Arts Festival from the 14th of July and in Dublin from the 8th of August.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The secret to summer-ready skin is here. Osea's number one best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil, clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and transform dry skin to silky, soft, and unbelievably glowing. Its signature scent of freshly squeezed grapefruit, cypress, and mango mandarin transports you to sun-kissed summer days. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com.